Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Board of Health meeting for April 2nd, 2025. As a preliminary matter, my name is Bridget Sweet. Permit me to confirm that all members and people anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. Vice Chair Jeffrey Harris.
Here.
Member Kim Muchow.
Here.
Kathleen.
Here.
Ginny.
Here.
Alicia.
Here.
I'm sorry, I forget.
Carrie.
Nipsey, it's terrible. It's one of those days. Good evening. This open meeting of the Franklin Board of Health is being conducted remotely, consistent with Governor Baker's executive order of March 12, 2020, due to the current state of emergency in the Commonwealth from the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus, which has since been extended. In order to mitigate, I don't have to read that anymore. This order suspends the requirement of the open meeting law to have all meetings in a publicly accessible physical location. Therefore, we are meeting virtually and in person. This order, which you can find posted with the agenda material, allows public bodies to meet entirely remotely as long as reasonable public access is afforded, which it shall be so this evening. There is public comment allowed, and just the advice to please take note of your camera and or mute button as the meeting is being recorded. And all materials have already been provided to the members of the Board of Health.
Yep.
So, approval of minutes are the first two items, which I will abstain from. So there is February 5th and February 19th. Is there a motion to accept as?
I have one very, very minor correction.
Okay.
To February 5th. The dementia experience is actually from Cornerstone in Milford, not from Safe Coalition.
Is there a motion to accept the minutes as amended?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
As amended.
And I second. As
okay.
amended.
All right.
Question, can I just, where is that?
It's in the first
page. It's under the Healthy Brains program. So the last line says about the Mega Brain and Safe Coalition, but it sounds like the dementia experience is part of it as well. But the dementia experience is with Cornerstone. Second to the last line.
So how should I word it?
So Safe Coalition was getting the Mega Brain, and the dementia experience is available from Cornerstone in Milford.
So it's all together? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're two separate programs
yeah.
from two separate groups.
Okay.
And it sounded like it was really more one group versus
oh, okay.
two groups.
Okay, that's good. Okay, and so then Jeff motion and Kim second, right?
Yes. As amended. And February 19th is good to go?
Yes.
Okay, so that will be part of the blanket approval.
Yep.
Cool.
So do I just write blanket approval?
No, I would just, no. Yeah, I would just say because they were presented together, so I would say that
okay.
As amended. All right, Sunshine Lily.
Okay, so in on February 19th, the board voted to approve that the spa can't advertise or conduct massage therapy without having a licensed massage therapist from the state. And they do have a licensed massage, there is a person there that has their license
okay.
From DPH. So they are open and operating.
Okay.
And so I'm happy to announce that. So, and we just didn't know it that night, but that was happening.
Do they have to file that license on record here now? Even though it's a state, so you have a copy of it just
mm-hmm.
in case. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They came in the next morning.
Of course, it did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Tobacco regulation amendment discussion.
Yeah. So you know how we amended our regulations
mm-hmm.
last year. So I got an email from Sarah McGalgan, I think that's her name, from MHOA, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, when your regulations were amended, we thought this was a viable option for boards as far as the state fining structure for all state and local fines. But she said, since then, the legal TA providers have determined that this policy is not available for local violations. So there are options in which we can discuss, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. We're going to have to do a public hearing for this.
Are you sure? Because Cheryl Sverra last night did not say that. And that was, I heard it literally last night. So.
Do you want me to check with Cheryl?
I would recommend that.
Check with Cheryl.
I would just thank Sarah for the information and then confirm it with Cheryl Sabara before we make any hearings, because there was a meeting last night that I was at that was 3 hours long, that's fine. And Cheryl Sabara did not mention that, and she literally said state fine structure for, that exact word came out of her mouth. So I would just double check before you put all the effort in to post a hearing if we don't have to.
Yeah, because she said...
Maybe Cheryl's wrong, but that's fine too.
Yeah, so there is two options. There's option to separate state mandated fines for violations of state law and violations for solely local regulations. And then there's an option two, state mandated fines with higher local regulation fines, which would be 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 versus 100, 200, and 300. So when I find out what's true, what's not true, I'll make sure to send you everything before, if we are gonna hold a public hearing, so you can make a wise decision. But I just wanted to give you a heads up that, I got this whole email from her.
And just for clarification, it's saying that if there was a violation right now, technically you could not fine them the $1,000. You'd have to go back down to the local reg of 100.
Yes, but we could still keep the...
Right, you can vote it in.
Well, no, we could still keep like how long they close.
Lose the permit.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Why
is
that? I thought that we already settled that.
We did, but it looks like the tobacco initiative got new information or different information and is taking back that statement. But the lawyer, the legal counsel for Mass Health Officer Association, who Sarah works with, did not say that. Are either of you going to the MAHB training this weekend? Are you going to the new
one? No,
there's
one in May.
Is it in May?
Yes.
Yeah, so Cheryl, and I misspoke, Cheryl Sabara is actually MAHB, not MHOA. But
Sarah's MHOA.
She didn't say that last night, so I feel like there's something disconnected between the two groups.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. I mean, because if you didn't hear that, I would have just moved forward with this,
Yeah.
The other thing, though, about the 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 is that we would have to do... If we did fine like that, it would be a criminal versus non-criminal. So
something's not right.
Yeah. Okay. I'll email Cheryl in the morning.
Yeah, if you don't mind, just to make sure. Rather than if you guys do all that legwork, it would be not awesome for it to not be accurate. And if it is inaccurate, at least you can fix whatever is not working.
Yeah. But Jeff and Kim, Cheryl Sabara is the
legal counsel
for the local boards.
And she actually used to litigate against Big Tobacco.
What's her name again?
It's Cheryl Sabara.
Yeah,
S-B-A-R-R-A. And she's a resource for all boards of health and boards of health members. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to her. She will not give you a legal opinion because that's up to town council, but
or
she will tell you what's
back.
Going on. Cool.
Great. Well, thank you. I didn't realize that. That's great. Okay.
Healthcare discussion, which is next week, right?
Yes.
Bring it on, sister. What do you got?
You want to? I should have had Cassia here, but.
Oh, I didn't think about it.
That, but you know, anyways. Don't you?
It's next week at the library. I think 3:30 to 5:30. I just like dedicate my whole day towards it, you know what I mean? So it's like we just go down there at like 12 and move tables and wait for vendors to set up. We have at least 20 vendors. I know even someone even called her today.
Yeah, exactly.
People have been wanting to add on, but we're...
I think we have more than 20.
We may, because people have called to get added to
That's
it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I saw the digital sign somewhere today in town.
Oh, good.
So they're advertising it. I don't know where it was. Please don't ask me, but I did see it.
Probably the center of town.
Yeah, usually it's
Was
around.
That coming through there? I don't
so
know.
What kind of things are going to be there?
So there's going to be the vendors there. The library usually puts on some stuff that's more like kid oriented. If it's coloring pages, they've done face painting before.
We're doing planting beans.
So the health department's providing little cups and seeds and plants so people can
pails and shovels.
We have a decent amount of stuff to give away for us.
Polish
in particular.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be fun, but the usual, you know, Reiki,
like
yoga,
I'm sure acupuncture is coming.
Safe Coalition,
police, fire. We always have people from the town coming and support it. And
Medi-Comet will have their booth there.
Yep.
The nurses will be there. So you should do a walkthrough. I mean, it's usually pretty good, you know.
Could I bring some dogs there for therapy dogs?
You'd have to check with Felicia, I think, yeah.
I don't think anyone can say no to therapy dogs.
Yes, they can say no to therapy. They can't say no to service.
Service dogs.
But you want to be a vendor, or do you want to just walk through
with
the dogs?
No, just because I know some, with my dog, and I know some other people that would probably be interested that live right here in town that also have them, that would probably love to go there and walk around.
We're meeting with Felicia tomorrow at 3:00. Why don't I?
Yeah, we can ask because the police does usually bring one. I think last year they brought both dogs, but they usually.
Yeah.
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 It's
Ben
and
Frankie.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because they used to have a real police dog. They don't have them anymore.
They bring them to it.
They switched.
Yeah.
Switch target. Yeah. I guess. But I think even if you can't bring it into the building, maybe like Johnson & Wheels used to have them outside. If it's warm enough, right? And you can still have like a little table or a booth, right?
Which is nice because we don't have a petting zoo this year. So that might be a nice option for when the kids are coming in and out, there'll be that special.
Well, I know we can go in. I mean, they can't.
It's very tight. That's,
okay.
That's super, super tight.
Well, just let me know.
I'll let you know.
And I'll talk to some of the other people.
We're going to try a different thing with parking this year.
Right,
we're gonna be putting all of the vendors down at the old
Davis there.
I always forget the name, and I shouldn't. So we're going to park down there. So we're hoping that's going to open up parking more, because if we park across in that lot with how many vendors we have, I've had family driving who didn't purposely stop because there's no parking available.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that'll help bring more people in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun. This is our fifth one, I believe.
I think so. Both seasons, right? Fall and spring.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
What's the date again on it?
It's next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Yeah. 3:30.
Yeah. Yes, 3:30. I have to always. The 9th. The 9th, yep.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Exciting.
Yeah.
Healthy Brain Initiative update.
Yeah. So, Bridget, just to recap, Alicia and I decided that was going to be our focus for the 2025. The town of Hopkinton also did it, so we kind of took their cue, I guess you might say. And Alicia actually went down to Hopkinton and talked to the nurses to kind of see how they introduced this. And so, first, I did a podcast with an educator for Alzheimer's and dementia. That's going to be posted soon on the website. Steve Sherlock helps with the podcast. It was really good, wasn't it? I thought it was really good.
Came out well.
Yeah. And then second, we decided we'd hold an expo. So there's 10 ways to love your brain. And so we took all 10 things and invited a vendor that could support each 10 things. And Alicia can tell you what the 10 things are because I don't have my paperwork with me.
So off the top
so
of my head.
It's a pop quiz, baby. What you got?
So one of them is nutrition. So we have a nutritionist coming, and we're hoping to go and have like food samples and refreshments for people, because that is a great way to draw people in.
And we received $200 gift card for the occasion from Wegmans.
Oh,
yes.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's very helpful.
Yeah.
Another one is preventing brain injury. So like heads up, we're still waiting to hear from them about like bike safety and just like preventing head injury. The fire station's also going to do fall risk and how to reduce it, which is great because we're having this event at the senior center, open for the whole community, but you know, because it's at the senior center, I'm sure we'll get a good amount of seniors that come too. So they're going to go over fall risk prevention. Another one, cardiovascular high blood pressure. Hi. I'm going to be there. I can take blood pressures, and I'll have some information and handouts on that.
We have Tammy speaking, too. She's going to be doing a 30-minute presentation. She's from Clearwater, I believe.
Yep.
She's a community educator in for Alzheimer's and dementia, so she'll be holding court for about an hour in the rear of the senior center. I haven't heard back from the Y. I haven't heard back as to if they're coming. We thought that they could have an hour or two to go over exercises that is, you know, obviously healthy for your brain. Alicia went wild and bought a ton of crossword puzzles and all the things that a brain needs to be.
So like fun games,
right?
Because that's another thing. We also reached out to Dean College. I'm waiting to hear back from them because another thing is just like education, challenging your mind. So we're hoping to get someone related to that. I'm waiting to hear. But we got those books, crossword puzzles, little mini Jengas, the Rubik's Cubes, and a lot of puzzles.
And those are giveaways.
And those are going to be free giveaways that we have.
When is that?
June 9th, I think.
I have the paper in front of me. June 11th. Yeah. It's a Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Senior Center.
We have stress reduction.
Would you say 3 to 5?
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you guys want to. I brought one for each of you. It's still up for, because now we're going to add Wegmans onto it.
Stress reduction. Do we have Reiki going?
We have Reiki going and acupuncture, and they're going to kind of focus on sleep too, because sleep and important sleep is just good for your cognition. So it's not just like reducing dementia, it's also just reducing cognitive decline. So this can apply to really anyone and everyone. Mm-hmm. We also have an dementia support group that actually meets at the senior center, and I asked them to come as well because it's great to talk about all this, but the caregivers are something that probably needs support. So it's great that we have a local support group.
And you want to, as part of that, mm-hmm. is make sure that they're aware of the caregiver support group that's being held at the senior center, because if you get more caregivers, they're planning on doing an event to take care of the caregivers in maybe September, in which they'll have like a day, like a spa day type thing.
That's really
thing.
Nice.
That's really awesome, yeah.
Yeah, and then we also have someone from the Alzheimer's Association that's gonna be coming. We're trying to think if I hit all of them.
I think you hit all of them. Waiting on a few.
Yeah, we're waiting on a few. I still have backups I can reach out to if things don't work out. But we've hit a lot of the targets that we wanted to for this.
Yeah, that's so cool. Pretty excited about it.
Would Cornerstone be good with the dementia experience?
So I was going to see if that was something Senior Center wants to do separately, because I think it could be like a booth in its own, but I've never, I think it was you who told me what it was like. I don't know if that would be like too much in that room, even though I love the idea of that.
Well, I want to do it separately because that will continue moving forward. Yeah, we do Mega Brain coming too as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, SAFE is coming too.
And what is that?
And SAFE, yeah. See, finally, there's always more because mental health is another one.
Yes.
What is Mega Brain?
It's a big blow-up brain that you can walk through, and you can see different things in terms of how drugs affect it or whatever things. SAFE Coalition got a grant for it, and they took a long time, but they had to get a van in order to transport it.
So it's like inside out on site.
I'm sorry, it's not the Mega Brain. It's the Brain Gym.
Brain Gym.
Okay. Oh, look at this. We're lying over here.
Yeah.
But eventually you might be able to get
it. It's hard when I don't have my list of vendors to name them off, so that's why it's hard with the health fair too, because I've been focusing on this.
We can still get Mega Brain.
But we can do it like
that. Might be a lot for that event.
Yeah,
I think that those are great things that we can do as a collaborative, like it's a continued experience, but I think that day is more just about like resources and meeting the people that can help with these 10 ways to love your brain and reduce cognitive decline.
Yeah, and then definitely can do that. Yeah.
And then we can continue it on, because when I met with the nurse from Hopkinton, how they had it was just an event, because I was thinking about it when you're reading this whole giant thing from the CDC, the 40-something pages, whatever it is. I'm like, are these just educational things? Are these classes? How do you really like get this information out there to a large group of people? Yeah. So I think holding these kind of events, I think are your way to target a larger group of people.
Yeah.
I'm really
It's going to be at the Senior Center, right?
And we always get a good crowd there.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Yeah, we're going to do, like, the the vendors will be have pretty much the whole cafe too. It's mm-hmm. gonna be big. And like yeah. I said, and then we'll have a table, and then the presenter will be up on the podium type. There's a like raised stage
yeah,
there.
Yeah, a stage. Yeah.
And once the podcast is posted on a website, feel free to definitely go listen to it, because boy, this woman used to present when I taught at Worcester State, and so I knew her presentations, and she teaches for first responders how to, you know, deal with people with dementia and Alzheimer's, and I'll tell you, she is just, it's just mind-blowing how prevalent this is, and it's going to be more prevalent in the future. And I thought it would be a good way to just, you know, doing this is a good way to reach the community and let them know the importance of what you do to your in your body can actually, you know, promote dementia. And so if you get a chance to listen to it, it's not that long. I think it was 20 minutes or something like that, but it was super educational and informative. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Carrie, anything exciting?
Not too much. Housing has been slow. I'd say this is my report for the past 2 months, so since the last time I met, just because it's a lot of numbers based. But housing, I haven't had much. It's been mostly just the regular food inspections. I just made a note underneath because I was going to start doing them in June. I don't think I said that last time, but now I'm starting. I have started. So, done 32 of those, and I'm just kind of starting to hit the timeline of reinspecting. So, more so in the next coming weeks, I'm going to be doing those. I've hit, well, I think, just 32. But yeah, everything's smooth sailing. Things are good. And I went to the MHOA pool training, camp webinar. Food webinar that was probably good for what you guys were talking about, and the one today that was a 3-hour one on pools and camp, so just training and stuff like that.
Did you go to the Miha one?
That was.
Is that the camp one? Miha was like last week.
That was, I did that one.
It was also virtual. They also brought up Amtrak, and I was like a lunatic because they brought up misinformation. So I'm texting people as they're texting me, and like, this is wrong. So it's in short.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
You did it too.
That's why they're
like, yeah, I didn't hear anything about Amtrak.
I didn't either. Maybe we didn't go to that one.
It was Miha, not MHOA.
We did one that he did a whole history about camps.
Yeah, it was Dave Williams.
But it was more.
No, it wasn't Dave Williams.
It was more communicable disease and vaccination.
No,
that's what it targeted.
Yeah,
because
I don't think I didn't hear it answer.
Did you get the Miha email this week?
Yes.
The FEP. Did you try to sign up for it? There's a free public health emergency preparedness training that the university. Did you try to sign up?
No.
It's already full.
Is it?
Yes.
I didn't
but,
try to sign up.
It's 4 days. 12 to 4, but it's brought on by an outside agency. It's brought on by the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. And they partner with FEMA, and they're offering a free training. And it filled up within, like, 12 hours.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't try to register.
Well,
yeah.
My next question, my next comment to you guys was, though, I reached out to Tennessee, and they're going to make a waiting list. They're going to try to have another one here for Massachusetts Pacific, but there's also two that are going to happen in California. It's all virtual, and it will be free. So there might be some slight differences, but it's all the same information that they're sharing. So
okay.
If you want the link for June,
sure.
I will send it to you. Because it looks, I mean,
great.
It's all FEMA.
4 days is hard for me, but it would be good for you guys.
Yeah, definitely a lot.
I think hold on, I could be lying. But it's definitely, I don't know if it's every day of the week or if it's one day a week, but it's, the agenda looks good. And it looks like it'd be really helpful, especially with the, give me 1 second. Okay, sorry,
just
go ahead.
Not February.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, Alicia has February and March, so I just asked her to talk about March, because she could read about February.
You guys know what I do.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Not really.
Have you gotten any inquiries about measles?
Not one. They haven't called you, have they? I think Massachusetts, we just have a really high
vaccination rate,
so, which is good for us. I think we're like 96 point something. I wrote it actually in here because I put measles update just so you guys could know. So COVID cases, really not big for the past 2 months, only 13 in March and 13 in February. That's and when I track the wastewater, and these are just confirmed cases.
Steve just shuts down.
He's like, I'll show you, no more COVID. There's nothing else to talk about. The Board of Health says no more COVID.
My computer doesn't normally do that, so.
Oops. Okay, what's going on here?
It's shutting down.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Just keep going.
Okay. And when you look at the wastewater, it reflects that we're in like a downward loop right now. We still have free COVID-19 test kits, though. They're available for pickup at the Franklin Senior Center. Regarding flu, we're finally down our area. It's the outer Metro West. It's hard to see because you guys are black and white. Mine's colored, but we're finally in a moderate.
My bad. I forgot to put the color on. Jeez.
Could you color mine in?
Sure. The most common flu strain is flu A, and there have been 369 reported flu cases in Franklin since the start of flu season, which is August 2024. 118 were in the month of February, so about 32%. And then 48 cases in March, so we're down 19%, which is really good.
Yeah.
During the week of 316 to 322, 12.1% of our emergency room visits in Norfolk County were related to acute respiratory diseases. But in the parentheses, as you can see, very small amounts of those are actually COVID and flu, and the same with RSV when I looked it up. So a measles update, since it's big talk right now, as of March 27th, there was a total, these are confirmed cases, 483. And they are in Alaska, California, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, a lot. The closest ones to us are New York and Rhode Island. And I want to say the Rhode Island one is only one case. New York, I think it's four. The number of cases in Texas alone are 400 and over at this point, with most of them coming from an area in Gaines County where there was a huge outbreak of unvaccinated people. Just so if people wanted to like look at the numbers, I did the age groups that they're seeing it with below. So it's like under 5 years old was about 33%. The largest was age group 5 to 19. 42%.
So and people who chose not to vaccinate, because people who are 57 are not, they're already vaccinated.
Yes, they're already considered vaccinated. Yeah. So 20 years and older, 23%. So what they also looked at is what's your vaccine status. So either unknown or unvaccinated was 97%. And only one MMR dose, which covers you actually 93%, was 1%. And two MMR doses was 2%, so like breakthrough cases. Mm-hmm. Massachusetts vaccination rate for the measles vaccine is 96.3%. So we have a very high vaccination rate.
Do they give them the kids before they have to go to school?
One in four. One. So they actually can be in school before, and then, you know, as a parent of someone with young kids, I don't have babies anymore, luckily. But when you have babies, that's really scary because you don't get your first MMR vaccine till after your first birthday. And then that should make you 93%, like it's 93% effective roughly. And then when you get the second one, it really boosts your immunity up to like 97%.
Now once you have measles, can you get it again?
I think there's always a rare chance of we call them breakthrough cases. So it's like just because someone had their two chickenpox vaccines doesn't mean that they still won't get chickenpox, but it's still rare. You know
my
what I mean?
Just to take anyone who was sick, we take the kids.
Put them all in one room.
We put them all so we all get sick.
There has been one confirmed death with this and one under investigation.
It's the most contagious.
Yeah, I think if there's 10 people in this room and like I walk in with measles, 9 of you are going to get it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it stays live and like you can still spread it in the air. So I could leave this room. And you can still get it. It's in the room for up to 2 hours in the air. So it's very contagious.
You sit on the surface and stuff too?
Yeah, but your regular...
It's airborne.
Yeah, but your regular disinfectant will kill it. So you don't have to go like COVID crazy. Remember people are like hygiene theater?
Yes.
You don't have to do any of that.
Get groceries delivered?
Yeah.
Wiping them all down?
I didn't do that.
You know, we that's the vaccines, you know... they work. It's 97% effective if you get your two vaccines against this disease. So, you know, hopefully most people have it, so it's not something I would worry about unless there was like a known contact.
So the problem is that people, the public's not notified for weeks because you need, if your onset time is, it can be
it's like,
4 days before.
What is it, eight? Yeah, and you monitor it. So let's say you were around someone, it's day 8 to 21 is when you could get symptoms. So there's kind of like a long period of time. Measles can be tricky that way.
People living their best lives running around.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know until, yeah.
I remember the old chicken pox. Blink, 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 all over your face.
Yeah.
So when we had...
Measles looks worse than that, if you've ever seen pictures of it.
It's really bad.
It looks bad.
Mm. We had a case from New York to D.C., and they misreported it from Boston to D.C., and the amount of calls and inquiries that came through were insane.
I'm sure people, and I don't blame people. It's an eradicated disease, and you hear about it. It's scary when that happens. So I don't blame people for being nervous. I just say, you know, check your, you know, it's easy enough now to get your vaccine records. Like you said, if you're born before 1957, you're considered immunized.
And when in doubt, call your doctor.
It was.
Exactly. But yeah, like most of us. No, we have a good idea if we were not. Central Park Terrace, I did bingo and blood pressure and blood sugar clinic on the 12th for educational classes. I did CPR and first aid training for the senior center van drivers on the 14th and 17th. They needed to get their certification. I did a first aid class for the community on 3/19 and a stop the bleed class for the community also on 3/19. Continuing with biweekly and monthly local Board of Health webinars, I attended an art pharmacy presentation with some of you here in the room on the 5th. I did immunization updates webinar with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health on the 6th. The student wellness committee that I'm on at Franklin High School, I went to that on the 25th. I did a summer camp webinar. This is the one that you're talking about. It was basically an update with vaccinations, and that was on the 26th. And I did a training, immunizing migrant communities. Oh, that stuck from the last month. Sorry, guys. But I did that in February. And then, of course, I'm always doing blood pressures and blood sugars and wound care and a lot of case management referrals.
Awesome. Thank you.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your Stop the Bleed and your CPR stuff are at the fire station, correct?
Yes.
Can you potentially do some more at the senior center? I was at a COA meeting and they were saying, well, we'd like to do it, but it's always at the fire station and we're here.
I've done them at the senior center, and sometimes when it starts dying down on the amount of people that show up, I think they put me at the same time as bingo, which really...
I'm not joking, though. You're out. I'm going to bingo.
I'm not joking,
I know
though.
You're not.
Don't do bingo.
Because,
do
like, it's so hard to find a time slot in that place. They are so busy.
You could do CPR bingo. And then you'll get both.
He's over here choking people. He's like, you're going down. You're going down.
Bingo. I got bingo.
That's a good idea.
But yeah, we can do more classes there. I'm always happy to. I'm willing to go basically wherever. I just need like the TV and the spot provided to me. But me and Lori just have such a good thing.
I personally would love to take it again because I took it years ago.
Yeah. We have so much fun. We did a class at Tri-County this morning with like 40 students. We had a great time. Yeah.
Huh, cool.
Yeah, a lot of people like them.
Yeah.
Dig it.
Yeah, that's
so many people have swimming pools with little kids, and I think it should be mandatory if you have a swimming pool that you have to take CPR or something for kids.
Yeah, I'm surprised with how many people aren't confident in it. But yeah. I feel like I do it now like so much because of all the trainings I do.
Yeah.
So I could probably do it with my eyes closed and my hands behind my back at this point. But yeah, it's surprising how many people don't know some things.
Do you guys promote that LifeLock thing? Or not LifeLock, what's it called?
With yeah, I don't because like until someone like uses it, tells me it works. Like, let's say it's out in the car and like Kathleen's choking. All right, I'll be right back. Let me go get this LifeLock thing. Like, no, you absolutely can't stall the importance of that. Like, no one just has it
in
their pocket. It's in their car. It's in their cabinet. Like, you need to know what's the Heimlich maneuver. They don't call it that anymore. But, you know, you need to know how to do the choking maneuvers. And if someone wants to get that and you see if it works, great, but I wouldn't throw out the Heimlich maneuver.
Let's go back with you with the CPR. So we got CPR bingo and people choking to see if LifeLock works.
I like CPR bingo, though. I think that would be a...
Whenever you get it, do
you
CPR.
Start doing compression.
Yeah, it could be a winner.
It could be a winner.
That's funny.
Especially if you double their prize.
What's the prize? You're alive?
No, they get money.
Oh,
yeah, they want money.
That's money.
Thank you. Anything else?
I have a couple of things. So the hospital senior health expo was actually moved to Wednesday, May the 14th from 10 to 2. At Milford Regional.
I'll put it in.
And I think Sarah is reserving the senior bus so that we can get seniors to go up there. And they're having all sorts of senior-related vendors there, including like Riverside. They're going to talk about their medication addiction program and dementia and all sorts of other things there. So they canceled that. The other question is you know how they're doing the initiative with the sunscreen?
Yes.
Do we have sunscreen at all our pools?
We have five. Mm-hmm. Not at our pools. We have them at the parks, at five of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to go around and check now that the weather is getting nice.
We don't own any pools, so it'll be up to Adirondack to supply, right?
Or the hotels.
Yeah,
or the condos.
We got it from the Myeloma company.
Yeah, in the condos.
Oh, so maybe the same people.
Impact and the Y.
Oh, yeah, same people, same program.
Impact Melanoma.
It's funny because we were going to ask Milford Hospital to... support us in that.
Yeah, I'll add it to my list.
Getting the money through the Medicomic grant, and so we purchased five of them. Alicia just watches them.
Do you remember the Ban the Burn? You guys never did that? So
no.
Ban the Burn was like a public health initiative where they were asking high school students to not go tanning, and they were sharing like information about sunscreen and UV and things like that, and kids were like signing like a little pledge. But it was called, the whole thing was like Ban the Burn, and then they would cheer something.
They should have done that when I was in high school, because I
was baby oil central.
So
I was like, where's that baby oil, baby? But I mean, it was fairly successful.
My daughter forged my name so she could go tanning.
Yeah, I went tanning a lot.
Now you can't tan that unless you're 18.
Oh, really?
Even with parent permission. Yeah.
So sunscreen was your question. Sorry, Kim. What else you got?
No, it was just a health expo that's going to be going on. They had to get more help because the initial date came too soon, and the nurses and social workers who were trying to do it figured out it was a lot more work than they realized. So I think the Milford Senior Center is now helping them.
What's the date?
May the 14th. 10 to 2, and Sarah knows so that she can send the bus up. I think the Bellingham Senior Center is going to send their bus up as well.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. I mean, good. It'll be good. It'll be busy, though.
But that's good, because I think they need kind of like, they really try and do a lot for the community. So it's bad when, you know, like they do a webinar and there's three people on.
I think it's great for Milford to do that, too, right now, too, because I think, you know, people are always complaining about, like, wait times and blah, blah, all that stuff. I don't think what large of a community people realize that Milford serves.
It's ginormous.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, the hospital is too small for the community it's serving. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to do community things like that.
Their emergency room is great now.
It's great, but it's just so jam-packed. They're literally serving a community, a hospital probably three times the size of it would serve.
Yeah.
How's that going to, you know?
I have a question for you guys, or more of a, so we're going into like barbecue season, and we know that there's no more communication or resources coming out of the FDA or the CDC. Do you think that next month for your like either topic of the month or initiative, you can talk about barbecue, like that type of safety stuff?
Yeah, like cookout safety.
Yeah, so whether it's cold, hot food hot, how to take temperatures, because people, we're going to see a huge increase in general with foodborne illness because of all the programs
always
that have been let go.
Yeah.
We can do a flyer and post it on social media.
Yeah, just something.
CDC will have
something. It's good to know about how long food can stay out, because I feel like people abuse that
forever.
In the summer.
Absolutely forever, it's fine.
What?
I don't know why you'd worry about it.
No, they always ask.
We all, like, I feel like
people always ask me, like, a health agent.
We don't have a refrigerator.
Like,
it has a lot of salt in it.
And you could actually even probably put your sunscreen information on it, too. Like, hey, summer safety, or something along those lines.
Yeah, so luckily we posted those out last year, too. I just need to go around and check that the batteries are functioning. And, yeah, because you know, they're a great thing to use while you're there. Because, mm-hmm. like, some of the parks don't have that much, like, coverage
right, they're
from
not.
The sun.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was really my only question, comment.
No problem. We'll just get on that.
Yeah. All right. Any public comment? Public?
Yes. One question back to the measles. Since it's airborne, with the town buildings and their UV ventilation, et cetera, is that protection for that as well?
It's funny you said that because I was asking Mike D that question this morning and we got diverted.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what I forget what they use, but I remember that with COVID.
Yeah, so it does kill infections and viruses.
With the system that they have?
With what we have here and in all the municipal buildings. But measles is an infectious disease. It's a disease, not an infection.
Not a virus.
It's a virus.
I don't know. It is a virus.
I think, it's a virus.
It is inactivated by UV light.
So probably, but I'm going to check with Mike D.
Yeah,
do you want those FAQs?
Yeah.
So then it covers all
Do you want those
FAQs? That would be great, yeah.
Exactly.
The ventilation they have in here.
So I'm going to send Alicia the FAQs that I had to make because we were getting so many calls.
Yeah, that's a lot. I was just reading the top of that.
Yeah, but it just gives, again, what can I do if I'm worried? What can I do to protect myself? Where can I learn more? It just gives people other resources, and they're all available. And it talks about how to clean if you need to.
Yeah.
So I'll send you that, and you can cut it down and do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, because like Bridget was talking about earlier, the problem with like the incubation period of measles is it has a long incubation period of like when you were introduced to it and when you can get sick.
And the contact
and
tracing is not going to be
So it's like, oh, it could be 12 days later and that's when I interacted with the person. Like, damage is done and you can spread symptoms 4 days prior to the rash.
I'll send you that. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. So it can be a lot, but that's good to know about with some of the air filters, because I'm not sure.
It's not air filters. It's lighting.
It's UV lighting.
UV
okay.
does deactivate it.
Yeah,
it does.
It does.
Mm-hmm. I would say if you're vaccinated, I would be less worried.
Yeah,
I mean, that would
yeah,
be the
it all comes down to that. But I would double check and send
you guys
an email.
Yeah, there's still that 3%. Chance.
I'm giving you the FAQs too if you want.
Don't look at me when you say that.
I'm sorry. You're young. You've definitely been vaccinated. Don't worry.
Anything else, Mr. Sherlock?
No.
Mr. Public? Public commentary? I did want to note and put it on the record that next week is Public Health Week. And I know you guys already probably know that, but we appreciate all that you do. Because public health, when it's working, is invisible. And because of all the hard work that you do, we don't have to do anything as a board, right? Like, we don't have to worry about anything because we know that you're already on it. And even the fact that you have less housing complaints, like, that's huge. Mm-hmm. So it means that all of your preventative work has worked. Like, all of your preventative work in the housing area has worked. So you're much more preventative and proactive than reactive. And I think that's a huge win for any community, but a community of this size, I think it's often overlooked, and it's a disservice to all the work that you all do. So I just want to say I appreciate it. I know that you touch everything in some capacity, from waste to pests to UV. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Anything else? All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second? All right, so Jeff?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
Bridget? Yes. Thank you, and the meeting is adjourned at 5:44. Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.